We were praying before the service for those rotten snowbirds who took off on us. So I guess you're going to be some of those, huh? Yeah, I understand. I understand. Once upon a time in Bethlehem, I was thinking about Bethlehem this morning, maybe because I got to be there, and thinking about how treacherous the journey to Bethlehem must have been, and how treacherous it still is today. It is still treacherous today. You, in fact, have to go through a Palestinian search and gate in order to even get into the city. And if you're a Israeli, you are not welcome. And it's just very, very interesting. Peril. All of these events around Christmas are filled with peril and challenge. You think your life is hard. You think, well, maybe it is. I want you to hear this part of the story again. These are not on slides, so I don't. Judy's like, wait a minute. Preacher's messing me up. It says this in Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, that's Mary's cousin, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And an angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And Mary was greatly troubled at his words. That is a good response to an angel in any circumstance. And she wondered what kind of greeting this might be, but the angel said to her, this is great words, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." And Mary asked a question of the angel. "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" I think she asked the question because she just sort of wanted to know. She just kind of wanted to know. And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born in you will be called Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. She who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. No word from God will ever fail." And Mary's response, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be as you have said. May these things be fulfilled." I am the Lord's servant. You know, in order to go to Bethlehem, it is quite a long journey. But today we are talking about the journey before the journey, because before anybody ever traveled a mile, God had to do something in their hearts so that they would be ready. When the Son of God wishes to be birthed on this earth, the question is, how do you respond? And I want to say to you, when the Son of God wishes to be birthed in you, how do you respond? It is not really a far-fetched question. It might seem like it is. It's a little bit strange for a guy to take. I will throw that out there. But nonetheless, we have a response for when the Son of God wants to be born in us. This is the journey before the journey. It really is about surrender. Last week we kind of set the scene for you. You remember that Bethlehem was chosen long ago, and that a bunch of magi from the east began months and months of travel to do the journey, to be there at the right time, to follow the star. You remember that Augustus Caesar said, "It's time to do a census. I think we will count." He didn't count sheep. He counted people and taxes. and it was quite a deal. And everyone had to register in their hometown. And 80 miles north of Jerusalem in the region of Galilee, out in the sticks, the small town of Nazareth, a young woman was betrothed to be married to Joseph. And betrothal, as you remember, is a stage sort of between courtship and marriage. It's sort of a stage. It's legally binding. We don't have a betrothal period. It is a one-year deal if you're betrothed to be married to someone. And in that time, you are so committed to one another that if one of you dies, if she dies, he's a widower. If he dies, she's a widow. You are a widow or widower, even though in that one-year period, you are not to stay under the same roof or share the same bed. And Mary and Joseph were betrothed, and their wedding was still months away. And Mary's spending time alone one day under a tree, perhaps praying. I don't know where you go to pray, maybe by a stream. And she suddenly realized she was not alone. It's staggering. And she, as she's there, she sees this brilliant light. It's going to be amazing when we see that light one day. She could see what appeared to be a man, and it was actually an angel sent by God. His name is Gabriel. Someday we're going to have Gabriel tell us the story himself. That will be pretty amazing. His name was Gabriel, and he said to her simply, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And how do you think she responded? I mean, there may be angels all around us, but it is not every day you get to see and talk to one, you know? It isn't. And Gabriel spoke to Mary in a strong and yet gentle voice, "Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. Do not be afraid." And what the angel was about to tell her was enough to scare anyone to death. And Gabriel said, "You'll be with a child, you'll give birth to a son." In the notes I put the word "what?" I'll give birth to a what? I'll be with a what? I mean, don't you think that's what she said? The other night I was talking to my daughter, who is going to be giving birth to my sixth granddaughter. I love granddaughters, really, but a son would be nice too. And she said to me, she said, "Dad, I had a dream. It was a really strange dream. I had a dream that Mom was pregnant." And I said, "What?" And that's what she said. She said, you'll give birth to a son. And you will name him the name Jesus. He will be great and called Son of the Most High God, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign in the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Now, the part about David and Jacob and the kingdom forever and reigning forever, I don't think Mary heard a word of it. I think when the angel simply got past the part, "You will conceive and give birth to a son," I think that was the last thing she heard. You know, it's like when the doctor begins to speak after surgery and they share some news that's bad. You should always take somebody else with you because you just might not hear it anymore. And I think that's kind of where she was. How can it be, since I am a virgin? And in Isaiah it says, "The Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. He shall be called Emmanuel." Emmanuel means simply God with us. And while Gabriel's words are still hanging in the air, "You're going to give birth to a son." While they're still hanging in the air, Gabriel said to Mary, "Your elderly cousin Elizabeth, who has long been thought to be barren, unable to conceive, will also have a child. In fact, she is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." Nothing is impossible for God. And how's Mary supposed to respond? Huh? What? Could you say that again? You know, And she answered a question that, truthfully, she probably had answered years before in her life, years before this event ever took place. And the question is simply, you know, will I respond and be the Lord's servant or will I not? And Mary said simply, I am the Lord's servant. The answer to the question, I am the Lord's servant. She had answered it long, long time before. How can this be? How can this be? Turns into, may it be as you have said. How can it be? May it be? Just in a matter of moments, and that wouldn't have happened if she hadn't already answered the question. I am the Lord's servant. You know, you want to experience for the Christmas, honestly, you have to take a journey. It's a long journey. I was thinking as I was standing outside the gas station and people were putting money into the little bucket to raise money for the food pantry, I was thinking to myself, I wonder if this was the beginning of the journey for some of them. How do I get close to this place where I feel close to Christ? I wondered if it was the beginning of the journey. And that might sound really strange. We actually observed, my wife and I, that the most generous people seemed to be the ones who had the least. Isn't that interesting? Amazing. How can this be? You want to experience Christmas, you have to start a journey. And what about this elderly relative named Elizabeth that Gabriel mentioned? Now, probably by our standards, she would not be all that old. But for the rest of eternity, she's going to be known as this elderly woman. Isn't that great? She lived near the hill country, and her husband was a descendant of the tribe of Aaron, which meant he was a priest. Okay, and because he was a priest, twice a year for a week, he had to volunteer at the temple, twice a year, every 6 months. And I think it was probably the highest point of the year for him, the greatest time of the year. And one year, as they are there, this particular year, the lot fell on him to actually enter the Holy of Holies, the place nobody goes, and to light the incense before God. And as he is up there lighting the incense, a strange thing happens. God shows up. Isn't that funny? You show up in God's house and God's there. I mean, I think the last thing he expected to see was an angel, and he was overcome with fear. Sometimes I think the last thing people expect to see in church is God, but then the last thing he expects to see is an angel, and the angel said to him, I love this. So Mary had to take a journey, but so did Zechariah. God has heard your prayers, the angel said to him. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you will name him John. He will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. And Zacharias thought, just like Mary's, is how can this be since I'm too old? But I think the question comes from a different place. I think Mary's question comes from sheer awe and curiosity. I think Zacharias' question comes from sheer skepticism. Really? How could this happen? Because look what he says in Luke 1:18. He says, how can I be sure of this? How do I know you're telling the truth? I love Gabriel's response. Since you don't believe my words, I will give you proof. You'll be silent and I'm unable to speak until the day he is born. Since you don't believe the words, I'm not going to have you spreading skepticism. You just won't be able to talk. Isn't that great? Now, I don't know if he was a talkative guy. It might have been a tremendous relief to his wife, who was great with child. I can't say that I know for sure, but you won't speak. And finally, Zechariah leaves the sanctuary. He'd been in there a long time. People had been wondering. He was supposed to go out and say a blessing to the people, and they can see He can't speak. And they know that God has done something, he's seen something, but he can't even really explain it. I mean, what do you say? He cannot explain it because he can't talk. He can't talk. Elizabeth did become pregnant, and she simply said nothing. Or we remember Mary's words, nothing is impossible with God. Do you believe that? Nothing is impossible with God. And she said, the Lord has done this for me. This is Luke 1:25. In these days he has shown favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. It was considered a disgrace if you could not have a child in those days. Part of the reason was, honestly, because you would, as you lived to be old, you needed to have kids so they could take care of you in your old age. Now, we think of it different. We just want to send all of our kids to medical school so they can take care of us in their old age, you know. But that was part of it. And it was thought that God had cursed you. and Mary arrives at Elizabeth's home and Zachariah's home, and Elizabeth calls out to greet her. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. It's the King James way of saying, Mary, you're really pregnant, and I'm really happy for you. God bless you. You know, God has chosen you for something special. And Mary was in the earliest stages of pregnancy. Nobody knew it, not even Joseph. Isn't the guy the last one to hear all the time? I mean, you know, and she is filled with the Holy Spirit, and she says, why am I so favored? This is Luke 1:43 and 44. Why am I so favored? How come I get to do this, that the mother of the Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. This child you are carrying is not just a child. He is the Lord. Now, I want to take a second and pause a minute and just hold on the story. Commence to preaching for a second. Here's what I want to say. Everybody needs an Elizabeth in their life. Everybody needs someone in their life who will speak words from God to them in those moments they desperately need to hear them. And I could name several people in my life who have been that. And honestly, everyone needs to be an Elizabeth for someone else. We need to be there for other people. We need to be open to what the Holy Spirit might say to us that we might be able to recognize in them. Everyone needs an Elizabeth. Don't you think that's true? Can you name yours? Can you name someone who you are an Elizabeth for? Now, if you're a guy, it might be a little tricky. Can you name someone who you are, if you're a guy, an Elizabob for? Okay? Maybe that makes it better. I don't know. I don't know. If she had any doubts and uncertainty before, the words of Elizabeth put them to rest. And at that point, she's all in, and she already was, but she says, my soul glorifies the Lord. This is Mary. This is chapter 1, verse 46 and 7. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. He has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. And then she goes on talking about how God blesses the poor, and God is not an elitist, and God uses anybody. And it would be really, really hard. It would be a hard journey. It would be a difficult journey. You know, what would Joseph do? What would her parents say? What would the community say? What will everybody say? Nobody likes to hear yucky stuff about themselves, do they? I think that was true a couple thousand years ago, too. What will everyone say? And Joseph, he's the last one to find out, of course. And Mary is staying with Elizabeth. She's been there 3 months. So by the time Joseph sees her, undoubtedly he is aware that something is going on. She looks different, you know? She looks different. Maybe she just has that pregnancy glow. Or maybe there was more, you know? And he knew, you know, he knew he couldn't be the daddy. It was impossible. How would you feel if the woman you are engaged to comes up to be with child and you know it wasn't you? What would you think, you know? And fear comes when you realize, I don't even know this person at all. But you know, you don't stop loving someone just because they hurt you. I hope you'll make a note of that at Christmas time. You don't stop loving someone because they hurt you, even if you know the relationship might be severed a bit, you know. And he just thought, well, I'll divorce her quietly. And I think he figured she'd go live in some other town where people didn't know her, and things would be okay. And the angel comes to Joseph and says, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son. You will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. Joseph knew what this would mean. Everybody around him would be whispering. Everyone. Matthew tells us that Joseph was a righteous man. He undoubtedly worked hard at being right with God. He had faith. He had courage. And I think that by this point, he's willing to say, if anybody says, disc, 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 naughty, naughty, whatever, I'm doing God's work here. You know, what a journey. What a journey, you know. And they took their own spiritual journey to surrender to God far before they ever heard from any angel. Honestly, if you want to experience Christmas, it takes a little surrender, or maybe a lot. Maybe a lot of surrender. I don't know. But it definitely takes surrender. Zechariah, he needs proof. Mary's just curious. He's skeptical. Mary just simply says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be as you have said. I am the Lord's servant. A couple things I want to share with you really quick. Applications from this story. I want to leave you with three thoughts. You are, number one, you are more qualified than you think you are. You are more qualified to serve God than you think you are. You are more qualified to have God live in your life than you think you are. Some people say, I won't go to the church because, gee, lightning will strike. The place will burn down for sure. You've never heard that, have you? And I think if you feel that way, you are more qualified than you think you are. Who am I that God would choose me? If you feel that way, you might be right where you need to be. And 1 Samuel 16 reminds us, man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. You know, he has his eye on you. He has plans for you. He has plans for you. Someone in the back row is going, me? He has plans for you. Second thought is, God will give you confirmation and the direction you need when you need it. Probably not before you need it. For Mary, it was the affirming word of Elizabeth. For Zechariah, it was a season of silence. For Joseph, it was the affirming word of an angel. That's exactly what they need. That's exactly what they need. They all needed surrender. We all do. Third thing is, the journey before the journey begins today. It's now. You have to answer the question before the question's ever asked. You know, Mary and Joseph, they have Jesus come into their lives, and they'd already decided who they would be. It's just pretty amazing. And it's a great distance. It's a great distance. but I think it's a great distance from us. I once had a friend, he's not on this earth anymore, but who was the manager of a Meijer store at Christmas time. And he was working 18 hours a day, and he was dealing with this, and he was dealing with that, and mad customers, and just... And he's telling this later. He said, I had to ask myself, how do I ever get to this place called Bethlehem? I can't get there from here. I think we all have our I can't get there from here, but the journey begins with complete surrender. Mary says simply, I am the Lord's servant. May it be as you have said. Next week, we're going to follow our characters on a different kind of journey, not just a spiritual journey, but a geographical one. And before we do that, I want to share with you this thought. This is my favorite Christmas hymn. No, we don't have to sing it. You all flattered me and let me do that last year. But this is my favorite hymn, written as a poem by Christina Rossetti in 1872. The world never saw it until years after she died. It was a poem. She was a great woman. She was a poet. She was a volunteer at Mary Magdalene's home for women who were trying to get out of prostitution. That's what she did. She was a volunteer there. And so with that in mind, she says, in the bleak midwinter, she's thinking in the winter of their life, frosty winds made moan. Earth stood hard as iron, water like a stone. Snow had fallen, snow on snow, snow on snow, in the bleak midwinter, long, long ago. And she ends the song thinking of these women again, I think. What can I give him, poor as I am? I have nothing to give him. If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet, what can I give him? Give him my heart. That's all we got. It's the best. Why don't we pray? Father, may our hearts be open. Totally open. Totally turned over to you. May we surrender, God, just a bit more this morning. And may you be with that one who's standing still saying, I'm not moving anywhere. God, may you help each of us to move an inch or a mile, whatever you have in mind. Father, each of us knows the area we need to surrender. I just ask that you would help that to happen now. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to invite our ushers to come, and they're going to pass the offering baskets. And please drop your connection card in there along with your tithe and your offering. But during this time, I thought, wouldn't it be cool if you just sort of sat there quietly and thought about what you need to surrender to him, and then we'll have our closing song. And during that song, you can put funds in these cans, because this goes to folks in Haiti who are